Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 119 to close at 25,201. S&P 500 down 11 at 2,775. The NASDAQ Composite dropped 8 to close at 7,695. Russell 2000 small and mid-cap stocks down 5 at 1,676. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points to finish at 2.98%. Oil up 26 cents at $66.62 per barrel, and gold up $3.60 at $12.99.80 per ounce. Federal Reserve increased the target range for its benchmark interest rate to 1.75% to 2%. Now, this is the second rate hike of the year and the seventh since the financial crisis. The Fed had indicated that it would raise rates 3 times in 2018, but with today's announcement, they indicate they will probably raise rates 4 times or 2 more times this year, depending on data. Fed Chair Jerome Powell, speaking at a news conference after the Fed's 2-day meeting, said the economy has strengthened significantly since the financial crisis and is approaching a normal level where monetary policy may no longer be needed to either encourage or discourage economic activity. A statement released at the end of the Fed's 2-day meeting took several steps to show officials no longer view the U.S. economy as needing a boost and are instead beginning to worry more about the threat of inflation. Officials noted that economic activity had been rising at a solid rate. That's a change from their May statement when they called the rate moderate. Quarterly economic projections released at the meeting showed Fed officials expect the economy to grow at a 2.8% rate this year. That's up from a 2.7% forecast in March. Officials also now predict the unemployment rate to dip to 3.6% by year's end, down from a forecast of 3.8% in March. Officials raised their headline inflation rate forecast for the year as well to 2.1% from 1.9%. The Fed now predicts inflation will run slightly above its target rate of 2% through 2020 at a 2.1% rate each year. It's a slight overshoot that Fed officials have roundly indicated they are comfortable with. The latest reading of the Consumer Price Index released yesterday showed headline inflation and so-called core inflation, which strips out food and energy prices, continuing to rise. The Fed prefers a different inflation measure, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, or PCE, which currently stands at 1.8% inflation year over year and is expected to touch 2%. The economic projections released today, which represent the median forecast of FOMC officials, echo those expectations. Officials raised their projections of both headline and core inflation. And today, a new report shows producer prices increased more than expected in May, leading to the biggest annual gain in nearly 6.5 years. It's the latest sign of a gradual building up of inflation pressures. The producer price index for final demand rose 0.5 percentage point last month, boosted by a surge in gasoline prices and continued gains in the cost of services. The PPI edged up 0.1% in April. The 12 months through May, the PPI increased to 3.1%, the largest advance since January 2012. There were some changes to the language in the Fed's published statement. Policymakers removed a line stating that market-based measures of inflation compensation remain low, and several sentences that expressed caution over the Fed's future rate moves, including that the federal funds rate is likely to remain for some time below levels that are expected to prevail in the longer run. Now, with another rate hike, borrowing costs will head even higher for consumers. Americans with credit cards, adjustable rate mortgages, and home equity lines of credit will see their monthly payments rise. All are revolving loans with variable rates that are directly affected by the Fed's move. Average credit card rates are right at 17%, according to Bankrate.com. For a $10,000 credit card balance, a quarter-point hike is likely to add about $25 a month in interest. 4 rate hikes this year would mean an extra $100 per month in interest on this type of loan. The rate hike today will result in an additional $2.2 billion in credit card interest. Rates for home equity lines of credit are much lower at about 5.92%. A quarter-point increase on a $30,000 credit line raises the minimum monthly payment by just about $6 a month. By contrast, rates on adjustable-rate mortgages are modified annually, so the impact may be delayed, but then it could bite. 3 to 4 quarter-point hikes in 2018 likely would boost the monthly payment on a $200,000 mortgage by about $84,000 to $112,000. Car buyers may feel it too, though they're still benefiting from a competitive auto loan market that's keeping borrowing costs pretty low. A quarter-point rate hike will likely increase the monthly payment for a new $25,000 car by around $3. Of course, existing loans would be unchanged. Any effect on 30-year mortgages and other longer-term loans would likely be muted. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage already has climbed from 4.15% to 4.54% since January 1st, largely because investors expect federal tax cuts and spending increases to push inflation higher, but the rate is down from a recent high of 4.66% in late May. The rate hike today seems to already be figured into mortgage rates. Existing fixed-rate mortgages, of course, are not affected. The war on savings accounts continues. Don't expect a fast or equivalent rise in your savings accounts or CD rates, many of which pay interest of 1% or less. Those rates have barely budged the past year, despite the Fed's hikes. Average one-year CD rates will slowly rise from about 0.5% to 0.7% by year's end. Yet a handful of online and community banks, credit unions, and money market mutual funds are a bit hungrier for deposits. They're paying as much as 2.5% on a one-year CD. That's up from 2.15% in March. And top savings and money market rates are nearing 2%. That's about the rate of annual inflation. Simply Saving has not been able to keep up with inflation over the past decade. The dollar reversed losses against a basket of treasuries following the Fed's rate decision while prices for U.S. treasuries fell. Yield on the 10-year note topped 3% before moderating at 2.98%. Stocks dropped, but market reaction to the Fed was muted. The NASDAQ composite hit an intraday record before slipping 8 points. No big surprises and certainly no shocks. In a press conference after the release of the FOMC policy statement, Chair Powell took a question about the impact of trade policy. Even though the Fed Beige Book included many mentions of trade policy, Powell said it did not fall under the Fed's mandate. Therefore, he would not address the issue because it wasn't showing up in economic data. However, he acknowledged that he was beginning to hear reports of companies holding off on making investments and hiring. Powell also called the slow wage growth a bit of a puzzle, saying the Fed certainly would have expected wages to react more to the very significant unemployment rate. Powell also announced that in January he'll begin holding a news conference after every monthly Fed meeting instead of just on a quarterly basis, as is currently the norm. So the Fed raised rates as expected. Their forecast now points to 2 more rate hikes this year, but they'll be moving slowly, carefully watching all incoming data. A federal judge yesterday approved AT&T's $85 billion purchase of Time Warner, handing the telecom giant a big victory that could hamstring U.S. regulators seeking to block big corporate mergers. The case is viewed as a bellwether for other deals waiting in the wings. Corporations increasingly have been seeking to expand their reach by buying up companies in different lines of businesses. The judge's decision, which is allowing AT&T to merge with Time Warner without conditions, shows the federal government may struggle to rein in such mergers. In handing down this ruling, federal judge Richard Leon said that the Justice Department failed to provide sufficient proof that the deal would harm competition or consumers. Telling a packed courtroom that the government's economic analysis rested on improper notions, Leon warned the U.S. government against seeking a stay on the merger if it brings an appeal, which is legalese for telling the regulators they had a really rotten case. So, first to step up to the plate, Comcast is making a play at 21st Century Fox's TV and film assets, hoping to derail Disney's pending stock-based $52 billion deal with Fox. Comcast is stepping in with a higher all-cash offer of $35 per share, which totals approximately $65 billion. The move is likely to trigger an intense battle between Comcast and Disney as 21st Century Fox and the Murdoch Empire weigh which is the better option. Fox's board of directors scheduled to vote on the Disney deal July 10th. Comcast had reportedly been waiting to see whether AT&T's acquisition of Time Warner would be approved before formally making its offer for the bulk of 21st Century Fox's entertainment assets. Now, this could open the floodgates for other vertical mergers, including CVS's acquisition of Aetna. Beyond that, if Google and Facebook get the signal the court will not let the government block vertical transactions, then the door is open for them buying more artificial intelligence firms, more messaging firms, more data gathering firms. Justice Department's loss could also spread to other types of mergers, such as when companies try to gobble up competitors in the same sector. Horizontal deals. A looming example of that, Sprint and T-Mobile, a $26 billion combination. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 119 at 25,201. S&P 500 down 11 at 2775. And the NASDAQ down 8. At 7,695. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.